You're listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Meet Us in Buellton podcast. We're so excited about today's episode. And today we have a very special topic who's been a big part of our community for more than 50 years. So today we are talking about Monty Roberts and the Flag Is Up Farms.
That's right, Kathy. Buellton has the great fortune of being neighbors with Flag Is Up Farms. And joining us to talk more about this incredible location is Debbie Laux. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, Debbie, we're super happy to have you here. And we'd love to learn more about you and about the farm. So maybe you can start off with sharing your position at Flag Is Up Farms and maybe what initially brought you here. I'm sure it's because mom and dad are here, but maybe share a little bit more about you and your position with the farm.
Sure. My position now actually has been morphing a bit, but thanks for asking. I'm general manager of the California Horse Center. And you might say, well, what's that? That's something new. but at Flag Is Up, so mom and dad have owned and managed the farm since 1965. They started building it with a partner in 1966. It was opened as a state-of-the-art thoroughbred racehorse farm and development farm. We did have some cattle, and it used to be huge, 1,250 acres actually. And Then it has since been, the partnership broke up in 72, and then it was split into multiple farms. That's how big it was. And the training operation itself has remained with my parents, Monty and Pat Roberts, ever since. And so my position now, I started working for my parents about 20 years ago, a little bit more. And the idea was that I came in to be product development and marketing manager and run the tours. And at the time, the tours were in this country and then in the UK a little bit, because there was that lady named the Queen who had dad on the road. And that's quite a story, but probably for another podcast. But she influenced him to get on the road. And so for the next 30 years, he was on the road. And I was setting up not just in the United States teams to tour, because he really didn't tour much in the United States anymore. He went to the UK and Germany, and then pretty much we went to Australia and Hungary and all over Scandinavia and Australia and New Zealand, blah, blah, blah. So that went viral pretty much and got real busy. And of course, then you need a team on each continent. And that was pretty exciting to get in different languages and translators and all that. And then what happened? COVID happened, and that was that clipped dad's wings. He was actually in Australia training for a thoroughbred trainer down there who was building his program. And so he really wasn't on tour. He was actually training. So intermittently, he trained in between each one of these for some top trainers like Her Majesty the Queen of England, Queen of the UK, I should say. They prefer that. And he also trained for 20 years for a stud in Germany called Gestüt Verhof, and generationally a family there. And then he had picked up this other gentleman, Mr. Kennedy, in Australia. And that all just stopped all of a sudden too, didn't it? You know, because we couldn't travel. Mm-hmm. And so dad came home and said, and I said, what are we going to do now? And we had been feeding the farm, you know, we made the money and sent it home, and they'd been doing a great job with the thoroughbreds. But we thought, you know, what is the future? What is the next generation for Flag Is Up Farms? Because I had called myself, kind of facetiously, I put it on my business cards to see if anybody would notice. I'd called myself the legacy strategist for years, because I just believe in the concept so much. And we can talk a little bit about that. But I believe in the concept so much and tried to keep the brand on point for so long that I thought, I have 20 years invested in that. How do you make that sticky? How does that continue on into the future? And outgrow the family even. And that became my mission. And so I signed myself up as the intern, and my husband and I bought the farm. I thought that was the only way to really guarantee that mom and dad would be there for as long as they needed. And we bought their home and said, here you go. You stay in it as long as you want. And, you know, I have a brother and a sister, so that was an important thing to do. So there isn't that confusion, you know? And mm-hmm. so we just rolled up our sleeves and steadily came up with a plan since last year of the direction for the farm, and without changing the concepts or the brand at all. And it's become a really interesting journey, and I'm excited to tell you more about that.
Wow. That's awesome.
I'm really excited to hear more about what you're doing over at the farm. I've been out a few times, and it's such a beautiful location, and you have so many interesting programs going on. So I'd love, before we get into the details, to have you tell our listeners a little bit more about who Monty Roberts is mm-hmm. and kind of his background, and that way when we get a little bit deeper, they have an understanding of the work mm-hmm. that you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah. It's, yeah. For a little scope and reference, that's true. So for those who don't know about gentle horsemanship, or, you know, maybe even as crazy as what's a horse whisperer thing. And the short story is that mom and dad both, Monty and Pat Roberts, put together an amazing training operation, really that focused on buying horses as yearlings at these thoroughbred auction sales, and then starting them, not breaking them, and that'll be important, but starting them to be ready for racing at the racetrack. So they're 2-year-olds in training is what they're called for the next auction that they go into, or the next life cycle that they have are 2-year-olds in training. And they went for 18 plus years breaking all the records in the thoroughbred industry for topping sales with this turnover of horses as yearlings and then starting in trailing. And so it became sort of a, like, what does he do differently? You know, there were articles right. written about him, and people came from all over to see what he did differently. But a little background, he was raised by my grandfather, Marvin Roberts, in Salinas, California. Mom and dad met in the 3rd and 4th grade, which is adorable, right? And so they've known each other a while. They didn't date in the 3rd grade. That was important to say. But they have known each other, and they both grew up with horses. But dad was, you know, he was basically a professional at a super young age. He jokes that he didn't get in the horse business until he was like 4. And then, then he got busy. And he was so intuitive with the horses, but my grandfather was super traditional. I mean, center of the target traditional, like known for, like, here's the guy in the Western United States who trains horses in the method. And fortunately, he wrote a book in 1957 about horsemanship and training, and it's illustrated, which is not my favorite thing to look at, but it is interesting at a point in time that says this is the way it was done. And so dad, you know, as most children will do, will maybe reject what their parents tell them to do. But dad did it with all good intent, saying that I don't think it's necessary to beat up horses to get them trained. You know, force and just no choice is just not in their nature. They're generous animals. They're flight animals, by the way. They're not fight animals. And so they want to just get away if there's pain or danger involved, mm-hmm. which is not intuitive to a good training. You want to partner with a horse or any flight animal, don't you? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't want to be stretching this, but, you know, an autistic child is a flight animal. I think most children are flight animals. They do want safety and they want protection. And that's mm-hmm. what dad would provide his horses. But my grandfather rejected that. And he often had cruel methods for his horses, as illustrated in the book. He felt that probably worked pretty effectively on kids too. So dad had 72 broken bones before the age of puberty. And they know that because there was a doctor that was not yet famous, but his name is Dr. Curlin. And if people look him up, he's the first doctor for the Lakers and some of the big teams down in Los Angeles who brought in the MRI. And dad was one of the first ones to be able to go into the MRI. And when he came out of that very uncomfortable situation, the first MRIs that were run by engineers, not doctors, they said, "What did you do to this body? What happened to this body?" And he said, you know, he had always been really mum about everything, as happens in families with abuse, right? Is usually it's not spoken about. And you better not, because there's a lot of threats going on with that too, right? Like, I'll shoot your horse or something like that in our family. Ugh. It's really, really intimidating. And so he never talked about it. So he said, well, you know, I rodeoed a little bit. And they said, trouble is we can tell that the bones were knit and healed before the age of puberty.
Wow.
And so there's not presence of testosterone in those bones. And so jig was up, right?
Yeah.
But it still wasn't talked about. And so he just rejected that so that he could win championships, because horses responded to him more than they responded to my grandfather, who hadn't won nearly as much as my dad did. So then this got the attention of the Queen of the UK, Her Majesty. And it was in articles written, because people had come to them saying, what are you doing differently with your horses? And Dad had solid wall side round pins there, so nobody could see what was going on in those. And what was going on was a gentle way to bring a horse to his first saddle and bridle and rider in about 30 minutes. And he could do lots of horses over the course of the day. And he never got hurt. And the horses didn't get hurt. And therefore, they made it to the racetrack. And therefore, they were happier in the starting gate. And therefore, they won. So it was a successful chemistry all the way around. And if you know anything about Her Majesty, she is a horsewoman. She owns lots and lots of thoroughbreds. And at the time, she was probably the number one thoroughbred owner in the world. The sheikhs have sort of taken up some of that real estate now. But back in 1989, she was it. And she still has a substantial thoroughbred stable. And you know what she loves more than anything? Horses. She really is truly a horse girl. And so I love that about her too. So she's very authentic and always been a student with Dad. So from that year on, they've been close friends. As long as the subject is horses, they're in. Dad has trained for her every year. He started the horses up until COVID. And Terry Pendry, who, if you ever see, look her up, get online and see her riding, if they pan out at all, she's riding with one person or nobody. She doesn't ride without Terry Pendry. And Terry was a man that was very skeptical about Dad's work protecting the Queen. You know, like, I don't know what this guy's doing. This, you know, they call him a horse whisperer or something. Dad never called him a horse whisperer. He thinks that's silly, but there's a story behind how that started in Ireland and England in the 1800s. You know, it's an old term for somebody who can enchant a horse. Well, he doesn't enchant at all. He trains them. But Terry was very skeptical and protective, and he ended up being her head equerry, which was not really heard of because it's a generational kind of position, as some are in England. But he got an opportunity because the generational guy didn't pan out. Let's put it that way. He was maybe not the best horseman. So Terry was there to take up the slack, and Dad couldn't have been happier. They're still great friends to this day.
Absolutely amazing. No wonder he took a much more soft-handed approach. I always kind of wondered what inspired that, because yes, I have heard that training in the horse industry and can be very, very rough. And so my first experience watching Monty, because I know the farm does some open tours where the public can come in and watch. It's just amazing.
Yeah. 11 world championships later, you think people would have been affirming and confirming then, but it was still the early 90s, you know, and there was a lot of skeptical trainers still. So he's really been that that guy who had to prove himself. You know, he's always been a little, not defensive, but he feels like he has to tell people that this really is, you know, good for horses, because he's an influencer that way, right? But now the next generation, they don't know any different. And it's wonderful to see, like, of course everybody would train horses this way. And they find it hard to, right? You know, like, why would you do anything different? But if you go to, if you flip the hemispheres around and you go to Latin America or you go to Spain or something, and these places that are more traditional, you'll still see the traditional breaking, they call it, right? I mean, it's the same word the whole world over. Is that horse broken? He's halter broke. Did you break him in yet? You know, and it kind of says everything you need to say about where the industry has been, but I don't think it says everything. So we say starting, the starting of a horse. And I think not only did his world championships prove that he could partner with his horse, but also the fact that he's worked so hard to buck the system up against traditional horsemanship. And you know what the coolest thing is? Like, as a woman, when I go down to South America, we go to Brazil or Argentina, and I see the first time we started going there years ago, decade, it was all men. Like, I mean, if you put on a clinic or you'd have an event at all, it was 99%. And then if you see a woman, you're like, oh, I'm going to vet school or, you know, highly educated, but, and wanted to know more, definitely not able to work in the industry herself though. Right. And then as we went, it'd be 5 out of 100. And then it was 10 out of 100. And these women recognize you don't have to be 180 pounds of strapping strength and able to get hurt or whatever, because the old methods take that strength, because you have to dominate a horse. You have to tie him from a pole. You have to do all these crazy things, they thought, in order to get the horse to, you know, be subservient, to be, yeah, dominated by a human. But you don't have to. And the horses have been saying that all along. So I don't know why we don't listen, but, you know, I kind of joke that it's the second oldest profession, because we've always had horses in order to open up, you know, and our transportation and our strength and everything came from horses and equids of all kinds, you know, mules and donkeys and all those working animals.
That's right.
Really did form our culture and our civilization as we know it.
That's so true. So true. What a remarkable story. And just, you know, your dad is, we talk about our pioneers in the wine industry, but he really is a pioneer in the equine industry. And yeah, it's awesome. Awesome.
It's a lot easier for some of us to accept that when you get to working with horses. I think if everybody got to see a join up, and I can explain a little bit about what that means, but if everybody got to see that just once, I honestly think it would change the world.
Yeah.
Having experienced it, I agree. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing to experience.
It's amazing how he gets the respect of the horse. And it is, it's a big, powerful animal, but yet it doesn't need that power to earn its respect. Mm-hmm. So, right. Yeah. And so Flagus Up Farms, Debbie, of course, it's absolutely beautiful. And for those of you listening, if you've never been and you visit the area, I encourage you to go in and they welcome their visitors, and you can walk around the ranch and see the horses and the stalls and learn a little bit more about what's going on there. But, you know, tell us a little bit, maybe what the visitors can experience when they come into your ranch and the farm.
Thanks. Yeah, we love having visitors. Dad put the sign up there from the beginning in the 60s that said, visitors welcome. And he has never changed his tune to that. We love having visitors from all over the world too. But what does that look like then? So, like, we had a couple from Holland in there this morning, Hungary. It was Hungary this morning. And, then we had another couple with their kids that had come to one of our programs for this one happened to be firemen. So I can talk a little bit about our programs too. It's really the horses that get all the credit, but a visitor might see, when they come in, they might see wild Mustangs. We have a gentling facility. They might see our transition horses, which are off the track thoroughbreds that are retiring from Santa Anita Racetrack or Del Mar Racetrack or Bay Meadows. And these are now the ripe old age of maybe 5 or 6, Kathy.
Oh my
and they're,
gosh.
They're not very old. They might have 15, 20 years left in their life,
right,
and they need a new job. So we're known as trainers. So we started a program called the Monty Roberts Mustang and Transition Horse Program. And what I did was I saw a really smart organization called the Right Horse Initiative, and they were changing the conversation about rescue horses, because it was, you know, it was a trend with dogs and cats to be, you know, let's not buy from a breeder. Let's get a rescue dog or cat.
Right.
But with horses, it looks a little different, because you know, you've got a 5-year-old thoroughbred that is at the top of his athletic game. He doesn't have flies in his eyes. It's not a Melissa Etheridge song. You know, it's not sad. He's really very athletic and very cool, but he is used up in one area. He's burned out here. He's, you know, slow. Maybe he's, you know, too slow for the racetrack. Okay. He could still be a hunter jumper. He could be a 3-day eventer. He could be a trail horse. He could be anything at that point. Right. And he's got the chops to do it, you know, but he does need retraining. So I loved what the Ride Horse Initiative said. I said, I want to partner with you. I want to help these horses. I want to be the training arm for these horses, and we'll get them back out into circulation and get them adopted. There are two barriers to adoption for horses, big barriers. One is transportation. The horse is in Florida and you want him in California. That's a big barrier.
Right. That's right. A big barrier.
And, you know, because there's no money to work with really when they're just surrendered. And then the second, probably by far the biggest barrier, is training. And so if we raised our hand and said, you know, right now we have a school since 1997. It's called the Monty Roberts International Learning Center, MRILC. We've done that since 97, and we've used horses from rescues and sanctuaries all those years to be our horses for the students to come in, take a class, and go home. And it makes the horse more adoptable. They love us, you know, to help train. And I went, but we only do that intermittently when we have classes. What if we did it year round? It was like, oh, why didn't we think of that before? so, right? All these years. And I said, gosh, I think we can go from 25 to 100. Is that okay? And she said, dang, that's higher than, you know, a lot of rescues all the way across the nation. And I went, oh, that sucks. It should be better than that, right? If we can say that, then we know we can. But here was the key for me, was not only did we want to have these horses come in and be retrained, using them in our classes to train the students, but I said, we're going to need more interns for that. So let's intern these horses in the Ride Horse Initiative approved adoption centers. So the adoption centers send the horse, but they also send their best and brightest, and they come for 6 or 8 weeks, and they help us while they're learning there. So they're helping us work with these horses. Yeah, we're imparting these concepts of gentleness and gentle training. And then they go back and they train up everybody that's a volunteer or on staff of these adoption centers. So it's great stuff. So Buellton, you guys, is the center for a lot of the training that's going out to all those adoption centers across the United States. And the interns are coming here. By the way, they love your restaurants and your hotel. And so it's been super fun because it's a great, you know, it's a great town to come to, right? We're not just in the middle of Iowa somewhere. Sorry, Iowa.
No, but, right. You know,
right? I mean, we do have so many cool things to do here. And so it's been really fun. It's not hard to entice these guys. You know, basically, we give them taco money. We give them $150 a week to eat, you know, and but they come wanting to, you know, get away, learn from horses and learn from us. And it just is super symbiotic. So we got to thinking, what else could we do to even expand on that? And we had been using these horses since 2010. We started a program called Horse Sense and Healing. And it became pretty famous around because they made a documentary about it. And we, for 3 days, we call in these veterans with post-traumatic stress, and they spend 3 days there doing join up. And we haven't explained what that is yet, doing join up. Megan's going to explain this at the end because it's what she learned. But we have them in no more than 10 or so, but we also ask them to have supporters. So it might be a spouse, it might be a brother, it might be, you know, their mom, it doesn't matter. But if they can bring a supporter, all the better, because their experience being with someone else doing it and going home with that is really strong too. So we have Horse Sense and Healing, which is for veterans, and that's been going now for 12 years. And it's supported by some wonderful foundations in Santa Barbara too, like Wood Clayson's family and others, the Santa Barbara Police Foundation. So that actually helped us grow into a Fired Up, which is for firemen, and then Partner Up, which is for police. So we get really specific. And there's some beautiful therapists mm-hmm. that use our motivational interviewing underlayment as a really easy way to us to get out of the way and let the horse do their job. So the centerpiece for this is the join up, but they also stay at a retreat at the Blueberry Farm here in Buellton, and the Santa Barbara Police Foundation funds that. And then the Ed and Shay Seaman are wonderful. Yeah, they give us a great rate on that, which goes, you know, which reduces the Santa Barbara Police Foundation's rate. So it's all super symbiotic. And of course, we cater using one of the delicious Mexican food places or around here too. And it's just a wonderful escape. And we've got such good feedback on that, that we had a science trial done. It took us 4 years to get a science trial done, but it was exhaustive and wonderful. And of course it said what we'd hoped, which was that this actually reduced so many levels of stress and gave them tools and resiliency to go home and do great things. And that's all because of the horses. We didn't do anything. We got out of the way. But that join up is the moment in a round pen when a horse gets to choose to flee. So when you take a horse in a round pen and say it's a big old transition horse, he's a thoroughbred, you know, and they've got some speed, their first expression, and you don't have to do much, first expression is to flee. And they tend to flee about a quarter of a mile. So what we'll do is we'll have them go a few laps one way, and then we'll change their direction and let them go express it another way. And then on the third and return, on that last circle, we start to, and we teach our veterans what they're looking for, or the police, or that we find that a lot of veterans go into police and fire, frankly. So it is mm-hmm. all one big happy family, right? And EMTs and trauma nurses, this is all included. They are taught the signs to look for, and we teach them how to diaphragmatically breathe so they can bring their physiology down so the horse can relax too. But whether a person is very inside themselves and introverted, or whether they're very aggressive and, you know, a little too exuberant, the horse will react to that person and won't trust that person, won't come into that person. But eventually, when they get everything right in their physiology, they'll take a 45-degree turn. They'll avert their eyes. They'll pull their arms and fingers in and go, what we say, go passive, go soft. And that horse will come right into them to the center of the circle. And that's when the hair goes up on the back of your neck. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it's amazing to them. I've literally had these big, tough guys fall to their knees. Pretty amazing.
That is just, what a wonderful way to give back and use your skills and your ability to teach others these incredible skills.
Thank you. That's the legacy strategist in me.
I love it. I'm so excited this is happening right here. It's just so incredible.
Well, We've got one more tool up our sleeve, and this is sort of the crescendo because we put it in March, and I want you both to come out and see, but it's called a mountain trail. And we had a designer from Washington State come down. His name is Mark Bollander, and he's won 3 world championships in mountain trail competitions. And we had, and he also owns an engineering company or construction and engineering. And so he made all these obstacles, and they're all found on the top of, you know, these, if you went up to Sun Valley, Idaho, or the top of Colorado somewhere, you'd find a suspension bridge or a trestle bridge or a water features and things like that. So it's all natural, and it's in our infield inside the racetrack. And it's
really,
yeah, right inside the, I know, I bet you haven't seen it yet, huh?
Amazing. I haven't.
It's so fun. It is so fun, Megan. You've got to come see it because the horses, they go out there and they go like, it's like kids running out to a playground. They're like, what's this? It's so cool. And then, you know, they got big eyes. But then once they do this thing called hunt the trail, once they see what you're asking for and you just put them on a long, you don't want to choke up on them and make them go over anything. See, that would be against all our, everything we've talked about right now, right? You let them hunt the trail. You put them out there a little bit and let them step over it. And when they say, oh, no, I don't think so. I think I want to be in your lap. You know, you got to get them. But pretty soon they're like splashing in the pond and having a great time. It's the best way to engage their brains. And we put our veterans out there now with horses that have been on it a few times and are happy to be out there. And the veterans, you know, they don't know any better. Don't tell them. But these horses right. could be afraid. But we've taught these veterans and first responders how to breathe, how to look forward, mm-hmm. walk confidently, you know, get their shoulders square and walk like you mean it. And they'll just take that horse right over a wobbly bridge or a step up or whatever. And it just changes the whole game. It just changes the whole feeling out there about confidence with a horse. And they, you know, we've had kids in programs where they go home and say, I want to be a horse trainer. And they didn't know anything about a horse before they stepped on the property. So
the next generation. I mean, that is a perfect example of the legacy that you've built and that, that you're preserving. Thank you. I love that.
We hope that's it. Yeah.
I know that there's one very special resident that people love to visit and that you mentioned a documentary earlier. I don't know if that's the one that was made about Shy Boy. Can you tell our listeners more about Shy Boy?
Well, this is one of the best reasons to come out to Flag Is Up Farm and see. So we've had a resident there who's lived there for about 26 years now. Mm-hmm. And he's not the oldest employee, though. I mean, he's we have one guy who's worked for us for 38 years and one guy who's worked there for 36 years. And then he married
his
wife
amazing.
And brought her there.
Amazing.
So. But Boy is a bona fide. He's got the BLM Freeze brand to prove it. He came from Tonopah, Nevada. So the BBC said to Dad when he was 54 years old, Dad was 54 years old, they said, we heard that when you were a kid, teenager, that you went out to round up Mustangs and that you actually were able to saddle one in the wild and ride it home. And he said, sure enough. And they said, do you think you could replicate that one more time? And he said, I'm 54 now. Sure. I'll do it.
No, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what the documentary that they made. And that's a different documentary than the Horse Sense and Healing that I was talking about the Discovery Channel did that one. This one was the BBC QED, they called it. And Lorraine Hegesy deserves the credit. She gave the go-ahead to open up the pocketbook for helicopters and bringing the whole crew over here. But Shy Boy was the subject of it. Dad went to Tonopah. They adopted three Mustangs just in case, you know, three bays that all look kind of the same. But he was definitely the standout. And he rode 2 days in the 48 hours on horseback following Shy Boy until he finally thought Shy Boy was pretty curious about him. He turned, walked the other way, and Shy Boy was just locked on. And from there, he was able to start to, you know, put a line around him and then, you know, get him used to being, and then eventually just put a saddle and ride around. As you would, right?
Amazing. On a wild Mustang.
On a wild Mustang. Darn if they aren't generous. So he's there. People should come right away. You know, he is 29 and they don't usually last this long, especially Mustangs who were in the wild till they were 3 years old because they have compromised immune systems and in, you know, intestinal things. So, but he looks lovely. I think he looks better this year than he has in the last couple of years. I don't know. But people should come visit. So they come visit. We actually are putting together a little self-guided tour. But we have what we call now the California Horse Center. And the California Horse Center it's at Flag Is Up Farms, but it's responsible for all these things that I've really talked about. Because you didn't hear me talk about training thoroughbreds very much that's happening now. And that industry, our give back is the transition horse program, you know, where these horses can be retrained to do something else in their life. You know, they're not going to be race horses anymore. So, and California Horse Center has taken on that responsibility. Mm-hmm. So I'm the general manager of that and happy to be. And I think that's going to be the transition that the property takes. We do have a 501c3. That's what we run those programs that I was talking about under. And people can support that. But really, the best encouragement you can give Dad is to come out and visit and bring your out-of-town friends. It's a great, I think it's iconic, you know, and I'm a little bit subjective, I know, but I, you know, anything that's been there for 50 plus years, you know, it was 1966. So is deserving, I think, of somebody coming and just seeing what's going on there, you know, and I think they would be pleased with the direction that the farm is taking.
Yeah, absolutely. I love recommending it to visitors because there are so many people who are interested in farm life and what that looks like. And you can't just go behind the scenes of any other horse farm here in the Valley. I mean, this is a truly unique experience that people can come out and have. And I know, especially families coming from big cities that don't necessarily have access to horses here, they get to see them up close and get to have that experience. I just think it's a very, very cool thing that you have set up.
Thank you, Megan. That's really kind.
And there's no fee to enter the farm, right. Is there, Debbie? Yeah, people can just
Thank
go
you,
on.
Thank you, Kathy.
And,
no.
Which they, is huge.
It is intimidating. There's a big gate there.
Yeah.
But I like to joke that that big gate is to keep the horses in. We don't want them
Right.
Not to keep people out, right? You know, so there is a kiosk right there and you push the button and you can come on in. 7 days a week, regular business hours. And, you know, not only should you look around, but there's lots of ways to get to know more about us. We do have the website, MontyRoberts.com. Mm-hmm. We have a podcast, Horsemanship Radio, and horsemanshipradio.com is the website, but it's also on the HRN, the Horse Radio Network, which is the largest horse radio network on earth. And, and you can look it up where you find podcasts. And then we have an online university, which we put together since 2009. And that's to help create some of the most basic lessons. Well, we have over 700 on there now, but it's not like coming and taking a class. And that's what I was going to say. And people can come and take a 1 day class like Horsemanship 101, or they can take a 3 day module like what's going on right now, where you learn join up, or you might learn something about long lining and how to put top line on your horse. And then there's trailer loading and all the, some of those most basic things that aren't always basic to people, because they don't, if they don't know the concepts, they don't know the gentle way of doing things that are more cooperative with the horse. And we love teaching that.
I think that's awesome. You guys have such a great program and do so much.
Or they can come adopt a horse too. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Come on, take a horse home with
take
you.
Take a horse home, huh? No problem. We have a trailer sales yard here. Let's see. We
have
get a truck to tow it. I think we got you covered. All right. That's fabulous, Debbie. There's so much going on at Flag Is Up Farms. And aside of all of the horse training and programs that you all run, you also open the farm up for, I know, some events for people to host their events there. Maybe you can touch on a little bit of that and how people can do that.
Sure. Real quickly, we do have a beautiful wedding venue, and we do have sort of a persona. It's called Whispering Rose Ranch, and people do, we have some beautiful, some people come for the ranch theme, you know, kind of horse, they love horses, and some people love the trees. It's in a park-like setting too. The fact that it's very flat, you know, we don't have, it's really accessible, and we have lots of roses. We have lots of roses. So it is pretty, and it's a great venue. We have corporate retreats too. We've done that for years. We'll have a join-up demonstration for them, and then a barbecue, and that's fun too. And it's a great, with that join up, it opens up conversations, you know, for mid-level, C-level, every, you know, all kinds of corporate levels have come over the years since, we've done that since the 80s.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, I can see why it's such a big thing, because it's such a beautiful property and it's awesome. And it's great that you not only welcome people to come visit for free, but you open it up to offer, you know, as an event venue for people. And then all these programs, you're helping people in so many ways that it's just, it's really inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy.
So we touched on the website and we also touched on your podcast. Let's just do a quick recap of where our listeners can learn more about Monty Roberts and Flag Is Up Farms and all of the amazing programs that you have going on.
Okay. So As I said, too, we have a website, MontyRoberts.com. We also have a telephone, good old-fashioned one even, and 805-688-6288 is our main line. So that's another way you can get a hold of us. You can also go to the Whispering Rose Ranch if you're looking for a wedding type venue. And then you can also get hold of me, and I'm Debbie at MontyRoberts.com. So that's Debbie at MontyRoberts.com. So I love people to get a hold of us, even if it's a crazy horse question, because we've put out, I love those. We've put out an Ask Monty newsletter since 2004. every Wednesday without missing one date, you guys. Isn't that crazy or what? It came out this morning. every Wednesday morning, Dad's answered every one of those questions. So my job is to filter questions so they're broadly educational. But so people can even go on our website and sign up for that. So if you love horses or you're interested in horses at all, you could start there. That's free. Most fair stuff is free and easily accessible from the podcast to the newsletter to calling up and coming and taking a little tootle about, you know. We really, it's sharing the concepts is what we are really into it for. And, you know, if people love to have an event there or something, then that's what keeps the doors open. But I think it's good karma just to be open source with all the concepts.
And if someone wants to support the nonprofit, the 501c3, mm-hmm. would they find that information or can they make donations online through MontyRoberts.com or is there another location for them to go to do that?
Thank you for asking that. Good point. You can find if you see the programs on the MontyRoberts.com site, we do put the dates up there, but we do have, the 501 has their own website and that's join-up.org. So that's where the 501c3 is and you can go right there to make a donation. Thank you for asking.
Excellent.
That.
Yes. Thank you.
Any social media channels do you have for Flag Is Up, Debbie?
You're so good. You guys are good at this. Thank you. We do. Yeah, Dad has a Facebook page that has over 500,000 on it. I think it's close to 550,000 people on it now. It's really fun. And then we also have, of course, we have our Instagram, which is my favorite because it's a visual. I love visuals too. And so I think we have 50,000 on that now. So that's a great conversation to join too. And they're really friendly and, you know, it's a really positive place where you can pick up quotes from Dad and talk about horses. And that Q&A that comes out, that goes up on there. And the uni lesson goes in there. Yeah. So yeah, thanks for asking about that too.
Yeah.
My goodness, I should have a list of all those things we do.
There's just so many ways. I love how approachable the farm is because there's so many ways to be part of that conversation and to find you. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things. It's not you come to us and in person, that's the only way we'll talk to you. You've really adapted and I'm sure that's one of the reasons why people come from all over the world to work with you here in Buellton and the Solvang San Ynez area because they can. You're open and approachable.
If it wasn't for Buellton being such a beautiful destination spot, our job would be twice as hard. I'm guaranteeing that.
That's very kind. We love having you here and truly love having you on today, Debbie. And one last question we always like to ask our guests of our podcast show is, what is your favorite thing about Buellton?
My favorite thing? Well, that's thing is such a hard word, isn't it? My favorite thing about Buellton. But I think what I love about Buellton, you'll appreciate this, is the history behind Buellton. You know, that the family, the Buell family being right here and knowing the Rancho history behind it, that it, you know, we're such a part of California history right here. I love the stories about the condors right here, you know, that we've got ocean, we've got so much beauty in Buellton and it's so diverse. That's my favorite thing about that, because we feel like we've got history and weight that way on Flag Is Up, and part of the California Horse Center story now is about history and legacy. I feel like that's Buellton too. Not just it's not just another dusty town on a roadmap. It's so much a part of Maddie's Tavern, you know, all these things that came through here with the stagecoaches and, you know, Buellton was right in the middle of that between the 101 and the 154. I mean, you guys are the epicenter, I think, of a lot of California tying north to south. You're central right here, right?
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite part about Buellton. That's what I brag on Buellton for, besides wine. So, yeah.
We've heard so many different answers, and this is the first time I think we've heard history, and I absolutely love that because Kathy and I both are just such big fans of telling the story of Buellton, that, you know, it's so much more than just an off-ramp on 101 to get you where you're going. I mean, it really is a destination in itself, and so I'm very happy to hear that. Well, this has been absolutely wonderful. Debbie, thank you so much for sharing so much about your family and the story behind Monty and Pat Roberts and what you're building at Flag Is Up Farms. It's such a beautiful and wonderful addition to our valley. And I'm so grateful for your time today.
I'm grateful that I'm able to be the one that gets to be the voice of this. And I'm grateful that you asked. Thank you. And Kathy, you're such a part of Buellton as well and part of its history, your family as well. And so we're just really pleased that you offer us a platform to share so much about Buellton.
Absolutely. It's just coming from a small town in the Midwest, and this is a small town here. I just feel that it's embraced me, and I try to give back whatever I can because it is a really special place, and to be able to call kind of home away from home where I grew up, right? But it's Buellton has a special place in my heart, and it's all the people here, I think, that make that, and like you say, the longevity of people, which is awesome. So thank you so much again, Debbie, for coming. We've learned so much. I hope our listeners definitely come up to Flag Is Up Farms when they're here in the area, and don't be intimidated by the gate. It's keeping the horses in, remember. But we truly are happy that you joined us and shared so much about the ranch and the farm and your family today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to follow Discover Buellton on social media to join the conversation on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Kathy Vreeland and Megan DeChico, and produced by Relic.